ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Madhya Lila. Chapter 18, texts. I'll read text 48 first. Then we can chant this.
Is this recording?
Tabe rupa gorshai shab nijagana loya ekamarsh darashana koilo maturai rahiya. Srila Rupa Goswami and his associates stayed in Mathura for 1 month and saw the Gopal deity. Then, text 49. Shange Gopala Bhatta Dash Raghunath Bhatta Gosai R Lokanath Shange Gopal Bhatta Dasha Raghunath Raghunatha Bhatta Gosai R. Lokanath Shange Gopal Bhatta Dash Raghunath Raghunatha Bhatta Gosai R. Lokanath. Translation: when Rupa Goswami stayed at Mathura, he was accompanied by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Lokanath Das Goswami. Purport: Sri Lokanath Goswami was a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a great devotee of the Lord. He was a resident of a village named Talkhari in the district of Jeshur, in Bengal. I don't know if this is still up to date because the districts in Bengal have all been, in Bangladesh, have all been changed. Previously, he lived in, says here, Kancharapara. That's another spelling mistake. His father's name was Padmanabha, and his only sibling was a younger brother named Pragalbha. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Lokanath went to Vrindavan to live. He established a temple named Gokulananda. Srila Narottam Das Thakur selected Lokanath Das Goswami to be his spiritual master, and Narottam Das was his only disciple. Because Lokanath Das Goswami did not want his name mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we do not often see it in this celebrated book. On the EBR railroad, the Joshua station is located in Bangladesh. From the railway station, one has to go by bus to the village of Shonakali, and from there to Kejura. From there, one has to walk, or during the rainy season, go by boat to the village of Talkhari. In this village, there are still descendants of Lokanath Goswami's younger brother. I'll comment a little on the verse before this, which has no purport. This whole section, the chapter is described, the Lord's visit to Sri Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan, but tangentially, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing Rupa Goswami's visit to Mathura to see the deity of Gopal, because, as described in the verses previous to this, the Gopal deity was established on top of Govardhan Hill, and the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Govardhana Uthiona. That's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur paraphrased it thus, don't go up on Govardhan. So that deity was served by the followers of Vallabhacharya and is presently served as Srinathji in Nathdwara, one of the most famous deities in Bharatavarsha. But at that time was living in Govardhan, but then due to fear of the Muslims coming and attacking, that deity was removed to Mathura. So Rupa Goswami took the opportunity to go there for 1 month to Mathura so they could have daily darshan, and of course there would have been shavan and kirtan also. And his associates went with him. Interestingly, states here, one of the associates is Das Raghunath, who's lifelong, well, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed away, he's spent the rest of his life living on the banks of Radhar Kund. But for this 1 month, he accompanied Rupa Goswami as one of his associates. The word given for associate, or the word that's translated as associate here, is Nijagan. There are other words which could be there. Shongi could be translated associate. Parshad. This Nijagan, it means his own people. So it's a very intimate term. The aim of the associate, own person of Rupa Goswami. So the aim of the Gaurya Vaishnavas is to become a Nijajan, or one of the own persons of Srila Rupa Goswami. It suggests a very deep intimacy that someone who lives with, is under the care of Rupa Goswami in the spiritual world, engages in various services. Raghunath Das, he spoke about his aspiration to become a personal servant of Radha and Krishna, especially Radha in the spiritual world. So Rupa Goswami is taking his associates. They're his associates here, his associates in the spiritual world, in service to Radha and Krishna. So that is the aim of the Gaurya Vaishnavas. Therefore, the Gaurya Vaishnavas, they're called Rupanuga, followers of Rupa Goswami, not Chaitanyanuga or Gauranuga, but they're called Rupanuga, because Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yang Dadati Swapadantika. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to give to the world, that was actually given through the agency of Rupa Goswami. And through him, we have to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Tabeham Bujboshe Jugala Puriti. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the entrance into the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. And Narottam Das says that is possible by the mercy of Rupa and Raghunatha. They spent 1 month seeing the Gopal deity. They're very pleased. This deity who had been established by Vajranab, the grandson of Krishna, and had been hidden away due to fear of the Mlechas. I hear the word given. Mlecha means Muslim. That's we don't get into any. There's interfaith and there's anti-faith, so we don't want to get into either of those. But the word used for Muslim is not a very flattering word. And there were some distinct problems there with the Muslim rule in India. Problems for the devotees. So they all went and they were very happy to be with the Gopal deity, now known as Srinathji, and served very gorgeously, a combination of a very gorgeous service and very affectionate service. So that also here, Radha Landanishwara, is combination of very gorgeous service and very affectionate service. Krishna is served very gorgeously, as is fitting for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is very affectionate also. In the old temple in Berry Place, the whole temple was so small, the deity room was so small, that if you stand just in front, you could shake hands with Krishna, almost. There's just enough space for the offering plate. And sometimes Prabhupada would come and the offering plate would be left there. They used to do that. During the arati, Prabhupada would come and pick something off the plate, pop it in his mouth. Not to be imitated. So Srila Prabhupada was very fond, as we know, of Radha Landanishwara. So you can try and do like that here, just like at Nathdwara. Nathdwara is famous for Srinathji, and very famous for his prasadam also. Radha Landanishwara also. It used to be that devotees flying from America to India or back, because in those days they didn't have direct flights, they would stop in London. They could have stopped elsewhere, but they preferred to stop in London for the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara. They are very famous. And also for the prasadam, which is also very famous. So you can do like that. You can make so many nice offerings. And throughout the year, the menu changes somewhat. In the winter, at Nathdwara, they'll give very heating foods. In the Western countries, they don't know about this, but at least in India and China and all these related countries, people know some foods are heating. For example, chilies heats the body. And some foods are cooling, they cool the body, like cucumbers. So according to season, different foods should be offered, different oils should be offered to the Lord. In the hot season, in Nathdwara, it's very hot. Extremely hot there in the summer. Then Srinathji will just be dressed in just a little sash, not much more than his underwear. I don't know if you should do that here. And in the winter, it's so cold that he'll be dressed, and just you can see his eyes and his mouth, and he's completely wrapped up. But you don't get so much opportunity for darshan because he's a young boy and they don't wake him up very early. Let him have a good sleep. And then they have little toys for him to play with and so many nice things. So you can see, actually, Vallabh Sampradaya, who are conducting their deity worship, is very nice. There should always be someone with the deity throughout the day. There should always be incense burning. In some parts of Europe, they have this habit. They offer incense to the Lord, and then they extinguish it. But at least here, I don't know now, but it used to be in Berry Place that the pujari would come every 15 minutes or so and light some oil. Always there should be incense burning. And actually, the system should be that there should always be a pujari present with the Lord in a public temple for any service that's required. And anyone who comes, he'll give them prasadam and charanamrita and all these things. So anyway, we can also learn the many things. We can learn also how to worship the deity. Then Sambrahma Sevyamana, with great affection and also with great opulence. So some of those associates, some of the Nijagan, they are mentioned in the verse that we just chanted. But only Lokanath is described in the purport. Why is that? Any idea? You can get a clue from the purport itself. He didn't want to be mentioned. So why is he mentioned and no others? Why does Prabhupada mention him only? Taking the opportunity, yeah, because the others have been mentioned before many times. Well into the Madhya Leela here, and many times Krishnadas Kaviraj mentions Sri Rupa, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Srijiv Gopala Bhatta. He mentions their names many times. These are my six gurus, he says. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, Loganath Das Goswami did not want his name mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita until we therefore do not see it often in this book. How many times? Any idea? One. This is the only mention. It's not often, it's only this one time that he's mentioned. He just sneaked in the name there. He didn't want to leave him out. It should be remembered. Yeah, by remembering the great devotees, then, what is that, at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, I can't remember the verse, Anayasa, it says, by remembering the devotees, Anayasa Bigna Binasham, by remembering the devotees, especially he gave the name of Rup, Raghunath, Gopala Bhatta, Das Raghunath, Jiva, Six Goswamis, Sanata. That by remembering them, one can easily cross over all the obstacles that destroy devotional service and achieve one's desire, simply by remembering them. So we should remember Lokanath Goswami, also a personal associate. He was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan before the six Goswamis. They're actually sometimes referred to eight Goswamis, Lokanath and Bhugarbha. They were sent ahead of the other six. But they were both very quiet types. Lokanath Goswami is mentioned here that he didn't want his name mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He didn't want to. Narottam Das Thakur described his selected Lokanath Das Goswami. Well, it wasn't round the other way. It wasn't that Lokanath Das Goswami selected Narottam, but Narottam, even though there were so many great personalities in Vrindavan at that time, he thought that Lokanath, he should be my guru. The only problem was that Lokanath didn't want to accept. He was quite solid and strong. I'm not going to accept any disciples. He's absolutely rigid. But Narottam was, he was also strong. I will have him as my guru. So ultimately the guru had to submit to the disciple and initiate him. He was the only disciple. It's mentioned here that he was a resident of Talkari, in the Joshaha district. It may be a different district now because the what were formerly districts in Bangladesh, they cut them up and made smaller districts. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there when he... Actually, that's not part of East Bengal. That's part of... Traditionally, it's part of West Bengal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went there, he sent Lokanath there, you go there, go. Go to Vrindavan. I'll come later, see you later there. Sent him there. So there's still a temple is there. Unfortunately, that is, well, fortunately and unfortunately, because this upper sampradaya, Nitai Gauradhesham, they took over many of the places associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. So maybe fortunate also in as much as they developed and repaired all those places and made nice temples. Unfortunate, some wrong ideas are there also. I went there many years ago, must have been, anyway, more than 35 years ago, something like that. I haven't been there since. Very typical Bengal scenery with In those days, there was no electricity in the villages of Bangladesh. So, and the houses were all made of mud with thatch, and we could imagine that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party could come through the fields at any time, because the life was going on in pretty much the same way as it had since that time. There weren't many modern things except our big Mercedes van, which we drove on the mud, not even the dusty paths, which weren't meant for such vehicles. When we got there, we found that the local people, they hardly knew the name of Lokanath Goswami, even though it was a Lokanath. They thought Lokanath, by Lokanath, they thought, because in Bengal, a very famous sadhu is Lokanath Brahmachari, who was in the 19th century, something like this. He's lived 150 years, something like this. So he's very well known in Bengal. Many people worship him. He's another Bengali Bhagavan. There are so many of them. So many people they call avatars. But he hadn't heard of Lokanath Goswami. So Narottam Das, in his song in which he sings, Lokanath Lokera Jivana, Achyutananda, he translated that as, he is the Lord and Master of the devotees, which is Lord and Master, Lokanath of the devotees. That is a proper translation. But in this context, Narottam Das, at the beginning of his Prem Bhakti Chandrika, is specifically referring to his guru, whose name is Lokanath. He's Sri Guru Charanapadma. He's praying to his guru, who's Lokanath, and he says, Ebe Josh Gushak Tribhuvan, may his glories be spread throughout the three worlds. Achyutananda translated that erroneously as his glories are spread throughout the three worlds. But actually it means should be glorified. Let them be glorified. So that's one of our tasks, to glorify the Vaishnavas. Let them be known. Let everyone know what are the glories of the Vaishnavas. Earlier this year, I was in Los Angeles, and there's a Memorial Day, as a public holiday in the United States to remember soldiers who've been killed in the various wars that the United States government's always waging here, there, and everywhere. So that Memorial Day is at ISKCON Los Angeles. They have a Srila Prabhupada Memorial Day. So their devotees were, Jadubha Prabhu explained how he's going to make a movie of Srila Prabhupada so the public can begin to appreciate him. And I brought up the point, or my opinion, if you like, that it'll be very difficult for people to appreciate Srila Prabhupada unless they appreciate Krishna consciousness. Because Srila Prabhupada's contribution is Krishna consciousness. He wasn't like these... Just like someone like Mother Teresa is very famous because, largely because she was promoted. There are many welfare workers in India and other countries who do similar things, but she was highly promoted. And people love it. Bodily welfare work. Srila Prabhupada's bodily welfare work was to tell us that we're not the body, and to take us off the bodily platform. Or people like there are so many bogus people. One of my favorite examples is Dalai Lama, because people think, oh, what a great, so saintly. But he has no spiritual knowledge, being a Buddhist, in which their whole idea is anatma, or anatta in Pali. There's no soul anyway. And people love him because he talks of peace and he eats meat every day. Big hypocrite. I didn't say it. Paul McCartney said it. Blame him. Paul McCartney got on his case for being a meat eater. So people they think such persons are very saintly because they satisfy their senses in a manner which is what they have defined as saintly. And they have no idea of what actual saintliness is or what actual benefit for the world is, how people can be benefited. Srila Prabhupada was the only person of his generation who actually benefited the world. No politicians or philanthropists or so-called welfare workers, but the people don't appreciate, because then they don't appreciate Krishna. If we could appreciate Krishna, then we could appreciate Prabhupada forgiving him. So I raised this, not exactly objection. And Jadubha Prabhu said that, well, they can appreciate him for his personality and his kindness and all these things. But even Srila Prabhupada's kindness, it's only possible to understand in the context of Krishna consciousness, because that was his kindness. And what people think of kindness, this chicken soup for the soul kind of kindness, it's just from the title we can understand. It's at best miskinded. A good spirit, maybe the idea. Let us be good to others. Being kind to a human, it might not be very much appreciated by chickens, who become the soup that you're being kind to others by giving them. So Srila Prabhupada, his glory should be spread all over the three worlds. He didn't promote himself. We see Lokanath didn't promote himself. But it's the duty of the disciple to promote him. Promote means not some fanaticism, but promote his message, distribute his books. Sometimes we come across people, we're distributing books, and say, I don't want them. Wait a minute, that's Prabhupada? Yes, okay, that I want. Sometimes we see that. There are many instances like that. The one devotee is in Gujarat going door to door, saying, I got spiritual books. I know I'm on fixed. I said, oh, it's one of those. They've got some bogus going. And then he brought out the book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is, there's nothing higher than this, so I don't need your book. Well, actually, it's by the same author. Oh, really? And then they'll take the books. Like this. So Lokanath Goswami, he was a resident of Talkari. Even the local people there hardly know anything about him. This is the situation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in India, if they know about him, they think that he is some saint. So a lot of work to do in spreading Krishna consciousness, education, educating the public, first of all. What is actual spiritual? First of all, that we need spiritual life. At least in some countries, among many people, there's a feeling that we need spiritual life. Here in England, I think this is maybe one of the top countries in the world where apathy toward anything spiritual is at its highest. What do you think? You're all living here and preaching here. It's no interest in anything spiritual. And religion, for most people, I know myself, being raised in this country, although I went to a nominally Catholic school, religion just wasn't on our agenda among the pupils. We never spoke about, discussed, or even thought about anything religious. It wasn't that we were anti-religious, we just absolute no interest whatsoever. It was just not a topic of any. By force, we had to go to some religious assembly every morning, but we'd either joke around or just go to sleep. That's all. And every morning we'd have some speech. I can't remember a single word from those hundreds of days listening to their religious speeches. Just no one had any interest. It was a formality. So how to revive people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is multifaceted. He sent Lokanath Goswami to Vrindavan. One of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purposes was to revive Vrindavan. He personally practically rediscovered Vrindavan and reestablished it through the six Goswamis. He reestablished the town of Vrindavan and the worship. Radhakund was unknown. It was practically a puddle in the fields. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and bathed there. And Lupta Keli Vartam, the pastimes, the topics of Krishna's pastimes, they were lost. They weren't known. So Rupa Goswami, especially, Rupa and Sanatan, they revived knowledge of that. So that is one of the purposes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to this world. He sent Lokanath ahead, Lokanath and Bhugarbha. So later the other Goswamis came, and Lokanath, they were already familiar, and they introduced them. But for themselves, they were very quiet. So that's also in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya. There are some devotees who, they're absorbed in bhajan. They perform their devotional service. At the present time, Srila Prabhupada has emphasized very much that we're required to preach Krishna consciousness very widely, establish it, every town and village. There may be some devotees who, not that everyone's going to be a great world acharya charging all over the world or a great book distributor. We'll be very happy to see also there'll be devotees who will simply stay at home, quietly chant Hare Krishna, raise their children in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we encourage everyone to go out and preach Krishna consciousness, but Srila Prabhupada also very much wanted to establish rural communities where people can live together and be Krishna conscious together. That's also one kind of preaching. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish these Vanashram projects. And can just imagine here in England if we'd had farms with devotees living simply, chanting Hare Krishna, living a pure life, that would be noticed. That would be a great preaching point. Because I think, apart from being religiously apathetic, another symptom of life in modern Britain is it seems that pretty much everyone's fed up. There's not really much in... I mean, everyone's into sense gratification, but it doesn't seem like anyone's super enthusiastic about it. They just do it because everyone else does it. You go out on Saturday night and get drunk and this and that, but it's not like in India where they're very enthusiastic to become degraded. But here the people are just degraded from the beginning, and there's no taste in it. They're already bored. They're already bored with degradation from the age of 8 or something like this. There's no hopefulness. Just as a routine, people get drunk, take intoxication, take drugs, and yell in the street on Saturday night. And it's just what everyone does. Even in the 60s, there was some enthusiasm for a new hippie movement and flower power and Hell's Angels and all kinds of different things. And now you see Hell's Angels, 65 years old, on their big Harley Davidsons, waiting to die. And then you get young hippies. And nothing new, nothing exciting. But Srila Prabhupada had this alternative. The greatest revolution. Just cut out of this ridiculous so-called civilization altogether and just live simply and grow your own food and chant Hare Krishna, simple living and high thinking. Oh, what a brilliant idea. That how to solve the oil problem. Go and bomb Iraq. No. Just don't use oil. Then you don't have an oil problem. You don't have an oil problem if you don't use oil. The only oil you can grow some sunflowers or flax. You can grow flax. And then you extract the oil. And you can use it for burning because you don't need electricity. You can light at night with some oil lamp. So as I was saying, in Bengal, when I visited this village of Lokanath Goswami, that was the life. Everyone lived like that. When the sun goes down, then you light the lamps. It's time to light the lamps. And that's the lady's job. It's the time for, they must light. They must light it at that time. That's inviting Lakshmi will come at that time. So put all the lamps around. Actually, oil lamps and quite common at that time was kerosene lamps, which aren't as auspicious. And they don't smell very nice, but it was cheap. Mm. So, yeah, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is to bring Krishna consciousness to everyone, especially this Krishna consciousness, Radha Krishna. This Krishna. Krishna is one, but this Krishna is Radha, that is complete manifestation of Krishna. Not actually Radha Krishna, not meant for people of this world at all, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced. It's very intimate. Maybe if you get to know someone well, you may get to know their wife, but girlfriend is secret. That's not, other people aren't supposed to know. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced that. Introduced Harinam Sankirtan. And to facilitate that, Srila Prabhupada also wanted to introduce this Vanashram, which is somewhat controversial because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at least superficially rejected Vanashram. He stated that this is one of the attachment to Varnashram is one of the obstacles in pure devotional service. But then we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to a large extent, followed all the. He was a very strict sannyasi himself. Why did he accept sannyas at all? Well, for preaching Krishna consciousness, that was required. People would respect that, but to be respected, it's not enough simply to accept sannyas, but one actually has to live as a sannyasi. Otherwise, one will simply become a laughing stock. And there are so many, apart from the actual sannyasis who are supposed to live very strictly, at that time there were tantric sannyasis who, their sannyas consists of illicit sex, meat eating, and intoxication. Not gambling, but those three. So this so-called sannyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict, so as not to be identified with them. In the modern age also, there's sannyasis of the Rajneesh order, sannyasis who have their sannyasinis with them. So it's not that kind of sannyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed very strictly and expected his followers, grihasthas also, to follow very strictly. But he said that ultimately this is to be transcended. Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce Varnashram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was maybe the first in the Gaudiya Sampradaya to very much emphasize the need for this. Others, of course, also, the acharyas in their commentaries on Bhagavatam state this, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he emphasized the need for this to help people to remain steady in their post, to be pious. Bhagavatam states that piety is steadiness in one's position, that is in relation to varnashram. To organize society in a manner that people can live pious, civilized life, and within that framework, they can prosecute Krishna consciousness. Because we all have to live in society, it means there has to be some social system. And if there's not varnashram, then there's going to be something else. So, as long as we live within society, then we have to, there should be some social system. So Krishna's social system is the best. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce this. So this is seems to me quite clear that if we had this would be excellent preaching, just to demonstrate a better way of life. In our books, in Srila Prabhupada's books, he condemns the materialistic civilization. He condemns, Shastra condemns, says, Nayang deho deha bhajang riloke kashtan karman arate virbhujang. Rishabdev condemns the life of not seeking spiritual advancement. He condemns it as a sense gratificatory life on the level of cats and dogs. That's a very harsh condemnation. But actually that's the fact, because ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyam etat pashubhya naranam. Humans and animals eat, sleep, mate and defend. So without the quest for spiritual understanding, then dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. Human being without dharma, or without at least varnashram dharma, then they're simply on the level of animals. So Srila Prabhupada very strongly condemned this demoniac civilization, which is everything wrong, everything, pretty much everything, and getting worse. Because if you're going in the wrong direction, the more you travel, the further you get away from the actual desired goal. So this demoniac civilization is not Krishna conscious, is pursuing sense gratification, is getting worse and worse and worse and worse, as can be perceived. That is, in Kali Yuga, everything gets worse day by day. Tatas chanu dinam dharma satyam shocham kshama daya kalena balina rajan nangshan daya balang smriti hi. In Kali Yuga, with every day, everything that is desirable decreases, beginning with dharma. Dharma is a very big term. It begins with understanding what is right and what is wrong. Truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance. Tolerance, that means tolerating the three kinds of distresses. It doesn't mean tolerating that which should not be tolerated. We have a very tolerant society. We tolerate all kinds of sinful activity. That should not be tolerated. And then, daya, compassion, all decreasing day by day. Lifespan, intelligence, all these decrease day by day. And getting worse and worse and worse. So in this horrible Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada is the emissary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he established so many temples all over the world. But factually we see that those who live in the temples and actually follow the rules of the temples, they're very blissful. But for most devotees, they want to be Krishna conscious, but they're caught up in the modern way of life. And it's very difficult to be fully Krishna conscious when the atmosphere militates against it. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish these communities so that devotees, we can live in our own culture with devotees. We don't have to pretend not to be devotees. Just like most, very, very few out of the many, many Grihastha devotees all over the world who are doing some job in some company or whatever, very, very few of them wear tilak to work. Most of them would never even think of it. But if we have our own communities, then just as not wearing tilak is the norm for most devotees, most of the time, even though it's a prime part of devotional service, then in our own, just to give one example, that to not wear tilak in our own community, that would be considered very strange. Why are you not wearing tilak? So, as you are valiantly promoting Krishna consciousness in this bastion of Kali Yuga, in the heart of one of the most sinful cities of the world, and proud of it. I mean, apart from the gross sin of meat eating, lesson sex, gambling, intoxication, there's also the city, that 1 square mile, the financial, it's maybe the main financial hub of the world, which finances and juggles all the funds of all these the major sinful enterprises of the world. So the banks, they may seem to be very respectable, but as has become clear to more informed people, it's actually the banks and the banking system who are, they're just juggling the whole society and exploiting in so many ways. So this London is a great bastion of sinfulness. To preach Krishna consciousness here is a great challenge, and a very great opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness to others. We can also keep in mind Srila Prabhupada's important instruction. He said 50% of my vision is not my what he wanted to do. 50% of my work is not done in establishing Varnashram. That statement's being challenged nowadays, but I know of at least two devotees who told me that they personally heard Srila Prabhupada say that. And even if Srila Prabhupada didn't say that, the fact that he emphasized it so much in the later years, the last, say, 4 years of his presence in this world, it's very clear that Srila Prabhupada wanted this to be done. So in the midst of your heroic activities, and definitely heroic activities, spreading Krishna consciousness in this city of London, can keep some mind also for this other part of Prabhupada's mission. It's not other part, but it's an other compartment, we can say. It's not separated. It's all part of the program. Because otherwise, we see that so many people take to Krishna consciousness. They may live some years in the temple. They can't take it anymore. It's too difficult. It's very difficult, actually. This living here in this temple is maybe one of the most difficult temples to live in the world, in this extremely intensely sinful atmosphere. Unless devotees catch on very strongly to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara, they cannot stay here to serve day in, day out, year in, year out. And not everyone can do that. But then how they can maintain the high level of Krishna consciousness, to maintain the thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. But that is possible if we live in the association of devotees, and the Varnashram projects, farm projects, that gives an opportunity to do so for everyone, at least for everyone who's serious to practice Krishna consciousness. So I went a little off topic there, but I'll finish there. If there are any questions, I'll take questions. Yes, please. What about the golden age that's supposed to come? Could you phrase the question in a manner that I could have some idea what it's meant to be? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to spread Krishna consciousness, and that turns into the golden age. Kali Yuga is expanding and expanding. You don't see any golden age. Well, I see it. Here it is, yeah. Take advantage of it. Take advantage. You mean why more people are not taking to Krishna consciousness? Well, I gave some suggestion in the course of that talk. Srila Prabhupada's program for facilitating Krishna consciousness for the masses is Varnashram, farm projects. Srila Prabhupada said people will join in their millions. In America now, I'm quite sure if we had functioning farm projects, many, many people would come, even just for the sake of getting some work and food. You'll see on the stoplights in America, it says, please give me work or food. People want to work, but they can't get any job, and they don't have any food. And many people are not devotees. They're moving, well, it's not a huge number, but they're moving out of the cities and growing their own food because they just, without any particularly spiritual motive, young people, not hippies, but they're thinking that we don't live in the city with all the winds. We'll just live simply and grow our own food. So definitely in America, if we had these projects, then there would be it'd be great preaching. We're going to tell people. We can preach in the cities. This society is stinks, and many people. Just like the other day, I did a program in Milton Keynes, and there were some new people coming. It wasn't a huge crowd, but I just, in the course of talking, I said how this whole society, it's completely bogus, and it's a cause of suffering. And no one, it's not like anyone, it wasn't a revelation for anyone, or no one protested or suggested, well, maybe it's not so bad. It's just like saying, in England, it rains a lot. It's just some, you know, people know. It's just like, it wasn't anything that thought, oh, really? Oh, I never thought of that. Everyone knows. But then what's the alternative? Practically, that practical alternative Srila Prabhupada gave. So scope is there. Wherever I go, in the world, I find that people are interested in Krishna consciousness. It may be somewhat superficial in some cases, but then if we have something practical to show, it may come from superficial to practical also. I had a small program in a village in Nottinghamshire a few days ago. And these are like what you could call ordinary English people. But a few people came and they were interested. And some of them have been to India. And the first thing I said, if you're going to understand anything about this, you have to understand reincarnation's effect. And they already accepted that. Many of them. So the influence of Srila Prabhupada's preaching it's considerable. Maybe more than we are aware of. That reincarnation as a principle is widely accepted. And then if we accept reincarnation, then our whole perspective on life has to change. We've got the knowledge. They're like Buddhists, they also talk about reincarnation. They haven't got a clue how it works because they don't accept that there's any Atma, any soul. So it's all highly theoretical. We've got the actual knowledge, but we have to show something practical. Then we can expect that many, many people will take to Krishna consciousness. I think the scope is there right now. I don't think we're talking about a future. We're waiting for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and wave some magic wand. He already came. Prabhupada already came. He told us what to do. We have to do it. This idea, we'll just go on doing what we're doing, and then all of a sudden, one morning everyone will wake up and say, hey, I want to be a devotee of Krishna. But Prabhupada gave us the book distribution, Harinam, all these things. This also, 50%. That should be done also. Anything else? I was paraphrasing Srila Prabhupada saying that one should arrange one's life in such a way that one cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day. From Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada. Yeah. When you're situated with working, then you have to think of other things. That's why I said that you should join a devotee community, live with grihasthas among her, and then you can do everything for Krishna, talk about Krishna, remember Krishna all the time. What mood should we chant the holy name? O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. That's the mood. You're laughing as if I'm... Why are you laughing? That's it. That is it. Are you looking for something else?
Well, obviously you understand that fully, but I don't.
Well, why not?
I don't have the depth of...
It's not depth of penetration. It's a simple thing to understand. You're not the body. You're eternal spirit soul. We are controlled, there's a supreme controller, we're meant to serve him. It doesn't require some, you have to sit on top of a mountain for 20 lifetimes and meditate, and then someday you get a eureka experience. It's a simple thing to understand. We're all servants of the supreme. It's not difficult. Yeah, it's difficult to be Krishna conscious without the atmosphere. That's a fact. So glorious are those devotees who are maintaining their Krishna consciousness even in adverse circumstances, doing a job in London. So that's to keep one's goal of life Krishna conscious when one is in circumstances which do not facilitate it, that is highly praiseworthy. But at the same time, it will be difficult to make the kind of advancement that we would hope to, or that we could if we were in more favorable circumstances. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted to arrange these communities so that everyone, not only those who are highly renounced and they can be fully in the preaching mission, but that everyone who wants to be Krishna conscious, but they may be at some different level, they're not ready for full renunciation, whatever, they can also be fully Krishna conscious. Anything else, ladies? Yes, please. Practical projects regarding this, communities. Hungary, that seems to be the nearest one that's working. Some are going on around the world. Oh, I should mention Purusha Triswami. He has a few years. He lived in Vrindavan for quite a few years. He's from Brazil. Then he went back to Brazil and he established some project there. And it's going on very nicely. And farm project for Grihastas. And he told me, and I'm sure he told many others also, that people come, groups of people, what they call alternative groups. They come and visit and they're very impressed. And he goes in the university and gives presentations. People take him very seriously. If he was going to go and present, well, here we have this Hare Krishna philosophy. And, yeah, someone might be interested. But if you say, look, we have this community based on spiritual values, and this is what we're actually doing, they take him very seriously and they're very respectful to him because they're actually doing something. Which what they call these alternative groups, they have so many ideas what to do, but they're actually doing it. So you can go to Brazil if you want to join. You have to learn Portuguese. We should start here also. In India there are a few projects. Bhakti Raghav Swami told me he was doing something in Canada. It's difficult to get the projects together, and unless the institution, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, gets behind it, it's very difficult. If we try to do it individually, the first obstacle is money. Where's the money to buy so much land? That's the first thing. There are devotees who want to do it, but they can't. In India, a few projects are coming together. Devotees, householder devotees, have put some money together and they're doing it. But it seems almost contradictory. For simple living and high thinking, first of all, you have to get lots of money. Yeah, yeah. So the society should get behind it. We do have farms in different countries. We have a few in America. Most of them were purchased in the time when Srila Prabhupada was here, but most of them, they're not running on as farms. Most of the devotees who live there, they commute into the cities, so they're country gentlemen, something like that. Or they live off the food stamps and things like this. So, land is there in America. But the willingness to do what is said, well, we tried and it didn't work. Okay, then try again. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. We should take this up. Varnashram, Gurukul also for the children. Gurukul means the way Prabhupada wanted, the boys should be trained in Krishna consciousness. We can have a school which teaches how to become a member of this demoniac society and also chant Hare Krishna, but that's not what Srila Prabhupada called Gurukul. So we should be aware of what Srila Prabhupada's program is. And if we follow, all strength comes from faith in the spiritual master and executing his order. When Srila Prabhupada was discussing once how he was able to spread Krishna consciousness in the West, Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes when I think of it, I'm surprised. Because among my godbrothers, there were so many who were very austere, sannyasis. I was a householder. I didn't have very much association with Guru Maharaj. There are so many of my godbrothers. They had years and years association. Then why did this mercy come to me? Srila Prabhupada said. When I think about it, he said that when I consider, I see that only I had full faith in the order of my Guru Maharaj. Anyone could have done it. Anyone could have gone to the West. Everyone knew that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted preaching in the West, but Srila Prabhupada did it and he was successful. He said this was the reason, full faith in the order of the spiritual master. So we have that order. to establish these communities, establish gurukuls. And if we say, well, we can't do it, and then we think someone later will do it. Somebody says, well, we're not ready now. And, okay, so we're not ready now. We'll wait for someone else in future to do it. So one generation goes by. The next generation also says that. We'll wait for someone in future to, we're not ready. We're never ready. The world's not, it's not that the Queen of England is coming here and saying, please establish Varnashram and Gurukul. The world's never, ready means when we're ready, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada will give us the Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Otherwise we'll wait and wait and wait and we'll miss the mercy. So it can be done and should be done. If we're sincere to do it, we have to do it intelligently. Maybe we didn't do it very intelligently previously. Then surely Srila Prabhupada will give us the mercy by which we can do it. With the order comes the empowerment also, if we take it seriously. But it won't be easy. It wasn't that just Srila Prabhupada went to the West and said, here I am everyone, come up and get initiated. He had to work very hard. He had to sacrifice. So it's not going to be easy to establish Varnashram. We don't know what we're doing, actually. But we have to find out. We have to require much research. We didn't know what we were doing when we, Srila Prabhupada would send people that had been in the movement 2 weeks or something, he'd send them off to some new country. But with faith in the holy name and the order of the spiritual master, they were able to be successful. And we made many mistakes in the early days of spreading Krishna consciousness, but the one thing that we were not short on was faith in Srila Prabhupada's instruction. So despite all our immatureness and the many mistakes that we made, Krishna consciousness was established in so many places in the world. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna.